Welcome to A Course in Miracles. Well, you realize that all through your day, you make little decisions. You make big decisions too, but you make a lot more little decisions. A lot more housekeeping decisions. Kind of, am I going to be on time? Or is this what I really want? Or did I get what I ordered? Or can I remember the phone number that I need to dial? You know, little lot of work. Your mind is busy all day. Mind is busy all day. Did you manage to check the weather? Are you gonna need an umbrella? Before you go, did you consider how much gas is in the car? Or how much charge you have? Because that's going to determine when you need to leave. Of course. Did you get lunch yet? You don't want to be on the road hungry, do you? Oh my God, right? So much work. And on. The world's meant and made, as the book tells us on page 425 in the workbook. You're designed to strive. The world, this environment, this play that you're in, you're a character in a play. You're playing your role. Did you ever notice that constantly you're striving? You're working at it. All the time. All the time. Whether you're at work or on vacation. You got to work on getting your vacation done right, don't you? I mean, you don't want to mess that up, do you? You made sure the reservation and the tennis thing. Did you bring the racket and the on and on and on? That's part of the a priori or the already given, the already working aspect of what you're doing in a body and have been doing in a body your whole life. I'm just pointing out the obvious here. That's a lot of what our spiritual awakening is looking at the obvious that we don't look at. Why don't we look at it? Well, why should we? Nothing you can do about it. I mean, it is what it is. Ego wants you to believe that there's many things not to be looked at, not to care about, because you're a victim and there's nothing you can do about it, and it's normal and everybody has the same problem, so must not really be a problem to be fixed, because everybody's got the same problem. Why would you even bother? And so you would go blindly, continuing. And of course, describes this as the way that you actually suffer, thinking it's happiness. The striving we're talking about, if only done with the ego, what we call the ego in control, is going to lead you to more struggle, circling, and suffering. But only all day long. Do you get a break at night? No. Do you get a break when you go to sleep? If you can go to sleep? No.
No on-off switch.
There isn't, and there's no neutral. Because when you go to sleep, what you were busy doing as you went to sleep continues to march on in your brain, which is what's trying to sleep, by the way. Part of the body. The brain's part of the body. It will do what it's habitually been doing for oh so long. With momentum. Struggle. Strive. Worry. Anticipate, fear, prepare, defend. This is the world you live in. Kind of obvious, yeah, I know. We're here to bust that pattern, otherwise known as the ego. The ego, according to this book, is a thought system, a set of beliefs about separation. You could actually be alone. It would be you against everything else. I mean, I don't know about all that up, but you don't know about you. I don't know what he's really thinking or she really said, but you know about you. A lot of ways you would
be very justified in thinking you're alone and struggling and striving on your own.
That's the ego. That's separation. And the world has been built to support that and remind you of it. It writes songs about it. It's got movies about it. It's got your parents telling you that they went through something like that, and your friends telling you it's that way or worse. They've been there, done that, and let me tell you what happened to me when I did that. That's the kind of sharing that occurs. It's not love. We're here to bust that, to break open that pattern that would otherwise perhaps leave you as a victim to the world, thinking you did not have a choice. The Course very subtly warns you that if you leave yourself as a victim, you must repeat what you're going through now. It's very simple math. It's very simple math. You would repeat what you're going through now because you believe in it. And you are creator. It turns out you're real. What you're really, behind what you see in the mirror, what's really going on is you're an extension of the power of God. God is just all that is. So it's good news and bad news. Whatever you desire, you get. It's another truth. Sometimes we say short sentences that are just true. That's one. What you desire, you get. Because of what you truly are, a creator. A creator who's playing in a play as a body that's victim and striving all the time. So that's what you get. You're doing a great job, by the way. I'm convinced. It's amazing what you're doing. Wow! Sometimes you mix it up a little bit and you stir it up to kind of keep an edge on things. You do things like run out of money, have extra money, get sick, get married, get divorced, a second child. Oops. You only wanted... You do all sorts of things. Did you think you were a victim? We're here to bust that. We must. Because if you don't challenge, if you don't awaken to the simple message in this book, you'll get what you desire. Good news and bad news, depending on where your mind is. If you're in this room, you've probably decided, I've had enough of this dream of fear, doubt, anger, worry, littleness, separation, duality. Call it what you may. There's many levels of looking at this. One situation of separation. You may have said, somehow, some way, I saw through it. If even for only an instant in your entire life, once you see through the victimhood that the world would have you believe, and you felt free for a moment, we call it a holy instant here. Once you've touched the holy instant, you've had a spiritual awakening. It is your destiny because of what you truly are. You are spirit. You're not actually a body. So once you begin that journey, there is no turning back. I've only known it to be good news, but I guess you could make that argument good news, bad news, because it does change your life a bit. That's what we're here to talk about now.
purpose. He must. He must visit.
Your very, very intimate idea of purpose for yourself. This is a personal, private thing. We're going to share maybe if you're interested, right? But you can say pass. I just want you to, in these next couple of minutes, to think deeply. In this section, as you've been here for the last couple of weeks, you know what we're doing is really we're talking about your practice. It's a section called The Consistency of Means and End in chapter 20. But what he's really doing is, what we're talking about is like you would in any kind of spiritual pursuit, you have a practice. How do you, what do you, when do you get where you're going? Do you even have a clue of where you're going? What are you doing? Is it only hope? Do you read such a large book with no pictures because you're hoping something good is in there? Have you been touched somehow, some way, by something in here touched you and said, oh my God, I don't have to be a victim. I don't have to be worried. I don't have to be so sorry about something I have no control over. Oh my God, I could actually be free. If that moment or any one of those has touched you, you've had a spiritual awakening, and there is no turning back. More freedom is coming. Because you begin to go up toward the light after being very busy dreaming of going down toward the dark. I call it endarkenment. And some of you have been very good at it. Really, it gets sad and dark and heavy. And this book says, that's what you've been desiring, so that's what you've been getting. This book, with 365 lessons, says, let me help you. Try this, and he's very specific, try this and see if what you've known as dark doesn't suddenly become light, or at least lighter. If it does, do the next lesson. If it does, be encouraged that you turn toward the truth. That's what we're doing here. We're here to bust the ego's addiction to actually habitually going down looking for more darkness. The world's made for that, to strive. The world's made for that, to give you difficulties. But what if page 443 is correct? Somebody remind me to go there if we don't get all tangled up. What if 443 is actually correct? Julie, that's your job. What if 443 is correct? And we really are fantasizing passengers who are creative extensions of God, but we've decided to sort of hallucinate. That's okay. You could dream, use your mind any way you like. But at some point, you might want to wake up and be free again and be joyful and loving and go back to full power. Full power of freedom might be really nice. Only when you get tired, though. Sometimes you meet people who aren't tired yet. They're not in this room. I guarantee it. You're only in this room if you get a little tired of being sick and tired. If you're a little tired of getting angry, a little tired of feeling conflicting feelings about people that you love, then you're here. There are people who just aren't tired enough yet. They're really fascinated. And attack, anger and attack and worry, genuinely a worry, they're preoccupied with it. And it feels good and it scratches an itch and they think that that's going to make them stronger. By going through, tunneling through their life with worry, they'll come out the other side. This is what they believe in their hearts and their minds and they're busy doing it. They will not be here. Don't bother trying to talk to them. You know who I'm talking about. It isn't you. It isn't you. If you've been able to read one page of this book on your own, It's not you. Time to wake up for you. You've already had your spiritual awakening. It's coming.
So let us think for a few moments in a very, very personal question for your spiritual path. Super practical. Let's think now.
That's dramatic, isn't it? Come on. What do you see? What do you see what I'm going to do next?
It's like a conductor taking out his guitar.
Right.
I thought you were going to stab yourself.
Very,
very. I mean, that's just my experience.
Yeah, okay. Well, we all come from different backgrounds. Yeah.
All right. Damn, that looks like crap.
So now, let's walk through this together. A very personal, honest, please. Loosen up with your head a little bit, right? Loosen up, because it's going to be different next week. It was different last week, but check in where you are with this question tonight. Open up to yourself. Let the spirit in you tell you something about your purpose. What is your, whatever you are, whoever you are, what is your purpose? Now, what is your purpose? At this time and space in your life, reach in. Go down and in. This cannot possibly be found outside of you. Let all the details of what things might look like or anything memorized, let them all fall away. Go in, go down, reach in for some honesty, for some discovery, for the most helpful, most aligned with both your heart and your mind. Purpose. What would you be accomplishing? Another fundamental way to look at this. Maybe a lot easier. Is what is your purpose? Based on the highest understanding you have of what you are. The two are intimately interlinked forever. What is your purpose? It's been said that if you don't know where you're going, only then will any road get you there. Take a moment, sort of feel your way through this. Feelings are very important when we have a topic like this. Feelings, they will guide you to an understanding of what's available in your mind. Follow the feeling. Let all the words fall away and just follow the feeling. Do you have a purpose? Might be a good place to start. Follow the feeling. And now, harness it a bit to see if you can pick just one aspect, just a word or a phrase. Can you come down to realizing, perhaps,
a word or a phrase that might describe an aspect of your purpose, your current purpose. Robert, you want to say something about your purpose? Any aspect. You don't need the whole thing. We don't need to write a book here.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Brother John. Yeah, just touch on it and let everybody fill in, and we'll have a big picture here.
Well, my ego says healer.
Healer. Honestly. Yeah. Healer. Yes. The essence of healing. The essence of healing. It's correction. You have to have an idea that something's broken before you can heal it, and you happen to have an idea of what it's supposed to be like, so you know when it's healed or what direction to take it. This is the path of a healer. A healer must hold at the same time what's broken and what's not broken. This is the path of a healer. A miracle. And A Course in Miracles is to heal your mind. It says everything is attached. Everything you can experience. Everything is with mind. Turns out that's another true statement. It says, if you're having any difficulties at all, it's because you need a shift in perception. Away from hate, away from materiality, away from smallness, away from limit, away from worry, away from stress. A lot of these healing, a lot of things in the body and the world are just all related to this explosion of fear. And all the things that fear can do. A lot of things healers do. We have other healers in the room by profession. They will take the sickness that's clearly in the mind, and they will help take the burden off, and then the ease follows. Miracle shift in perception, and then once the healer finds a way to undo the basic problem, then isn't it always the case? You have to do the healing part. There's a practice of some sort. Take the medication, do the exercise, you got to drink more water, whatever it is, it's probably going to take some time. We call that forgiveness in A Course in Miracles. You actually have a practice of, now that you've figured out that it is stinking thinking, and it really isn't necessary, in fact, it's been kind of a lie that you've been indulging in, you've had a miracle around this, you're actually free, but you don't behave that way. Now forgiveness is where you change your behavior. You change your thinking. You change your habitual thinking about a problem that you now know is not there. The miracle showed you the problem wasn't there. A lot of times in healing, you have to go see. Source. Change the source. But then there's all these practices and habits that tend to keep the problem present. Or recurring. That's forgiveness in A Course in Miracles. We read 21 of these words in here. Big words are redefined, not what you find in the dictionary. Miracle, forgiveness, all sorts of stuff. And then what happens? How do you know that it's healed? How do you know you're getting somewhere? How do you know there's progress? You get what we call a holy instant. There comes a moment in your life. Usually it's right around the problem circumstance in the world. With your eyes, your ears. You see the problem circumstance comes up, and you would find you've already forgiven. You don't have the habitual thinking that would bring you down. It's not present. And you go, I like that. I'll go more with that. The freedom is realized. R-E-A-L. Real. Realized. Those are holy instances. You're free. Healed.
beautiful.
Sure. What's something about your purpose?
I should still try to figure it out. I don't know yet.
Whoop! I'm taking that. Because that is one of the things you've shared in this room.
Yes, I know that. But I'm okay with it.
That's the point. Is it confidence on her face? This is not a panic. It's not, I don't know, oh crap, I don't know. It's, I don't know. Do you realize how significant of she does? How significant of a step that is from worrying about what you're supposed to be doing? It's perhaps one of the strongest gifts you can give yourself in a spiritual path, is these three words. And they're hard. I don't know. If you do know already something from the world that you should be healthier, wealthier, or wiser, or richer, or faster, and then that will make you happy. That's knowing something, right? Your spiritual awakening is blocked. You need to make this passage. It can be a little difficult. Very difficult for the ego. Really easy when you've got something we call the Holy Spirit, which is also not what you might have learned in catechism. I don't know are words of tremendous freedom. They're going through a veil. You pass through the veil with saying, I don't know, and you're celebrating. I actually don't know. And I'm not worried like she says, yeah, I'm okay with it. Oh, thank God you don't know. Of Course in Miracles says, if you did understand the ego's ways, you would be stuck forever. If you did know, in other words, as what you are now, body, time, space, with a social security number, you. That's what I'm talking about right now. If that part of you did know, did have the answer, you wouldn't be here. And you would be continuing. And if you actually were right, which of course says you can't be, you can't actually know anything here in a dream. Why not? It's all made up. I asked, every once in a while when I go to sleep, I asked my Google Home, I said, tell me a joke. It has a bunch of jokes, it turns out. So last night she said, why can't you trust in Adam? Because they literally make up everything.
That's good. That's great. And you started laughing and you couldn't sleep.
I couldn't sleep, right? It's true, though, isn't it? They make up everything. Everything here is made up. Everything here is made up. Good. I don't know, it's just a great place to be. I mean, everything's possible. And that makes one, it's teachable, learnable, and open-minded. The final achievement of a teacher of God is open-mindedness. And that's good. Mark, tell me something about your purpose.
To live the truth.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure whether it's my truth or the truth or what truth, but there's this feeling of like a truth. Wow. You know, a sense like it's coming from the deep, from the center or something, like a core kind of a feeling.
The feeling. That feeling. So, that feeling is informed by an experience that goes way beyond the words I could possibly come up with.
Yeah, it's something I've always wanted. Like, and I didn't really know that that's what I wanted.
Yes.
When you asked me that question, it was like it kind of really made sense.
Made sense.
Yeah.
So I just want to say something about that feeling that may not have been noticed in people here who have had what he's talking about. You have that little feeling inside you that says you want the truth. So truth is what you got. Or some people call it love. Other people call it God. Some people call it that truth. The fact that you have some feeling. The more words we put on it, the more we lose it. But the feeling informs
you, or I could even say proves,
that you can.
Yeah, it's connected to awakening too, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a, you know, it's like, what are you awakening to? You know, what are you awakening to?
Is there a light on the horizon? If you don't know where you're going, mm-hmm. any road will get you there, mm-hmm. which is nowhere or everywhere. It doesn't matter, does it? I call it negative freedom. If somebody else could argue and say, no, Andrew, you don't understand freedom. Freedom means there's no goal. Freedom means you're perfect just the way you are.
It's like anarchy or something.
Like anarchy!
Anarchist who believes that there should be no rules or structure or any...
No rules, no structure, no picture, no idea of what you should go or where you should go. Love and hate should be equally accepted. Mm-hmm. I mean, after all, isn't that what God is, everything? Oh, whoa, I'm getting a headache. There are meetings here you'll find that kind of discussion. And in a way, it does feel very free, doesn't it? So does taking drugs. All you gotta do is pop the pill or stick the needle in your vein and suddenly everything's okay. For a while. It's like, wow! Ho-ho! But that doesn't work out for very long. Because it's a lie and it's borrowed. The fact is, you're deeply addicted to your ego and your body. Deeply addicted. We are here to wake up from that addiction. You must. You must choose to put the bottle down. You must choose to no longer put the needle in. You must choose to awaken from the ego. Otherwise, you must continue to do ego. You must.
Either or.
There's no neutral. It's either or. And you will continue doing whatever you think will keep you safe and happy. And until now, until you've come to your spiritual awakening path, it has been the world. And you tried different things in the world, and eventually, somehow, some of you, all of you, said, there's a feeling inside me that said there's a way to be that is way beyond the limits of striving in the world. And I want to live that way. Mm-hmm. Yes. Beautiful. Mario, what is something about your purpose?
Well, since I've been here, I found the purpose of the spirit of the truth and having a relationship with it in the sense of becoming one with it. And showing me the truth and just the nature of the game of what we're seeking, what we're being trained to think in the worldly ways of life.
Yes.
And why people are so confused and sick and this and that. Wait a minute. We're being programmed.
Mm-hmm.
And what the thing is that there's this other world within me along with this Holy Spirit that I found, and that's my purpose, to have this bigger and better relationship and see just... even without glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, what I'm saying is just that, you know, I found something very beautiful here, and my purpose was to continue because it kept on pulling me.
Yeah.
And it just made me feel so like, wait a minute. Use this.
Yes.
It's so beautiful. I'm just glad that I get to share it with people that are on the same.
Yeah, do you align with that?
Yeah.
That you've been constant that way. You want to take off your armor from the first day you came in through that door.
That. Yeah.
You said, man, I've been so good at my armor.
Yeah.
He's a Marine. He's tough. And he says, you know what? There's another way.
Yeah, I just had that ego of just like, now.
Yeah.
You know, but my thing was is that there was more to it. The truth of just why when I found this book, you know, I found it. I go, I need a miracle.
Yeah, you knew
and
it.
I found that 10 years ago.
So how you knew it?
Wow, and it's telling me.
Yeah.
It is talking to me. It's beyond a miracle. You know, that's why I use that thing about how I look at life now.
Yes. Yes.
Through my spirit of the truth vision.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. A Course in Miracles says, "This is a quote."
You are a miracle.
Wow. Thank you. Okay.
L.
Seal. Celise. Was that it?
Yeah. That was a miracle.
What a miracle!
You know, just kind of the same that's kind of going around the circle. I feel like my purpose is to reconnect with God.
To reconnect with God. She didn't say connect with God. Reconnect with God. There's a feeling in her that's first nature, related to Mark, that feeling, which says, I am connected in some way, shape, or form. I'm going to reconnect. It's the truth about me. About my source, about my origin, of whatever, however you want to look at that. It's a reconnection. By your very design of what you are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The key point is, having been connected, the truth is you can. You can connect. This is very important, because if you're on the outside, you say, I want to connect with God for the first time. What says you could ever get that job done? No. To awaken because I'm actually sleeping and not truly right here, or to reconnect because I was connected and somehow I lost it. That's way, way closer than I need to somehow invent something new so that God, I can find out what spirit is or what God is or however you want to look at it.
It's kind of what the whole book is about, is that that God created us as who we are, like His Son. We are His Son. We are part of Him.
Yes.
And it's something that's there. You just have to kind of peel back the fog or the layers, and it's there, just right there.
Yes, because the book very carefully uses the word extension. Mm-hmm. It says in your dream you think there's projection, where something can actually make something else, and then there's two. The truth is that there's only one, and whatever aspect you're looking at is extension of the one. Like my hand is still, it's my hand that's out here, but it's still connected to me. That's an extension. Still fully connected. As different as you may see the aspects of my fingertips. Still one, Andrew. Oh, it's a good math to understand. To meditate on and to feel. To feel the oneness of the word extension, and to know that that is the truth. Oh, you're done, right? I mean, oh my God.
And it's there, you know. It's just always there. It's, whenever I do these lessons, it's got more and more. Like I just sit down, I close my eyes, and it's like it's. I don't have to go very far.
You don't have to go very far. How far does the Course say you're going to go?
Journey without distance.
It's a journey. Okay, get ready, pack, be prepared, right? Get ready. It's a journey without distance. That's what it says. Yeah, beautiful. Reconnection. That's really great. Julie, tell me something about your purpose.
Just actually feeling it right now instead of speaking it. But I would say be.
Yeah.
Just be.
Yep. To be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You've heard that saying that you're a human being, not a human doing. That's kind of simplistic wording around you trying to be aware of your spirit. Or being in the here and now. Is being, whereas doing is busy and it's particular and it's separate. So Julie's fallen into this presence feeling of being. Just being. There's something essentially true about just being. And no words could possibly approach that. Yeah. It's a very good practice. We're studying a session called the consistency of means and end, where the author is trying to help you recognize that you're on a journey without distance, which means that you're on it with everything you think and do. And if since it's without distance, that the goal that you seek, it must also be right here. Right here. So, yeah. The reconnection is not going to be this huge reach and a big lightning bolt where some change has to occur. Some measurable change. Measurable keyword. Has to change. No. Journey without distance. Really great news, of Course in Miracles.
It's some trust in to stop doing them.
Acquired. It's not a doing, is it? It's a not doing. An undoing. A not continuing to do.
That takes trust.
Isn't that also the way you give up on drugs? You don't actually do something. If the problem is you've been doing something a little too regularly, that's making you sick. Making you sick. The healing is most likely, not that you should do something different, you should stop doing the thing that's making you sick.
Once in a while, instead of drugs, you know, alcohol, I wish you would use sugar.
Oh!
Or meat.
Yeah. Pick your poison.
I gave up meat, but sugar. Oh my God.
Oh yeah, sugar. Yeah. My girlfriend's addicted to sugar.
Oh my.
Yeah. You would never know it until you watch her neck crane when you're going out of a store. She goes, "Whoa, peeps!
What?
What's a peep? It's this little yellow piece of." Sugar-coated marshmallow.
Oh, yeah.
Chemical marshmallow.
It's too much
it's
sugar.
A chemical marshmallow. What?
It's sugar
that's standing up on its own.
In the shape of a chicken.
Shape of a little...
Chick.
That's gross.
Oh, when do you have one? Don't knock it till you try it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then, you know, psychologist.
Can we get back to the...
sugar is a dangerous topic. Kenny, what's something about your purpose?
I haven't quite gone away from the chickens yet.
Sugar
in a 4-pack. Well, I'm doing stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking all the time.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to have somebody to tell me not to get involved in it.
Yes.
Something like that.
Oh, no, that's enough. That's enough right there, buddy.
Yeah.
You see, living in a body... with responsibilities, time and space, maintaining your body, your home, your everything. This is the addiction that you go to. It describes who you are. It counts something to find out if you're okay. It's a quick measure and a justification to keep striving. You would need permission. You would need guidance to not do all the things that you can easily claim have given you the safety that you, whatever safety you enjoy today, you would say, well, it's because I've been so busy making sure nothing fell through the cracks and everybody is happy and I'm not sued or in jail. There's food on the table. You could easily make that argument. Something in you, some feeling in you, says that's a dream of busyness that will never end. By definition, it will never end. In fact, a lot of times when you make progress, that very progress makes more work that will have to be tended to, keeping you busy forever. Welcome to the world. But welcome to this room too, to A Course in Miracles, because that's a perfect pursuit. It's part of the I don't know. It's the last thing the ego can tolerate. Much rather know exactly what has to be done, know that it's been done, or what to do next. Know. Just know. Don't not know. That's dangerous. Good. Good. And I'll give you some good news. The world will continue to demand from you to keep yourself fed and watered and warm enough or cold enough and take care of the world continues to do that. Your freedom that you're talking about, to hear that voice that says you don't need to do these things and you're okay and you can be free now, that holy instant is an instant. An instant that goes beyond time itself. Everything you have to do is in time. And there's only so much of it left. I mean, the average person lives around 32,000 days. You lived a whole week. 7 of them last week. Gone. Gone. Done. But this we're talking about, this guidance you're talking about, that feeling that you touched, is infinite. Kenny, you're talking about the infinite freedom and rest. Where instead of doing with your hands against the clock, you do with your mind in eternity. The Course has a word for this, and you'll see it when you, as you do your reading. It says that your natural state, were you to be awake, is abstract. Not just abstract, perfect abstraction.
Well, that's really interesting because I got to the point where I'm rewinding my age now.
Yes?
You know, and it's really interesting because things, I'm feeling better about it.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Uh-huh.
What do you mean by rewinding your age?
Well, you know, I was just kind of getting to this, I got to this point where, you know, I had turned to this age of 61, and then last year I turned, turned 60. But anyway, this year I'm going to be 59. So, but what I'm doing
I'm
is
15.
But what I'm just saying, I'm just going back what we're chasing, what we're seeking because of our age.
Yeah.
And then actually recultivating and putting this whole, you know, this my purpose.
Yep.
With that Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Of showing me the difference in what we're thinking, what we're doing, what we're chasing.
Yes.
And who, you know, just, I don't know, it's just really weird, but I feel a lot better about doing that.
Yep.
Go, wait a minute. How far down can I go?
Yes.
I can be a teenager again?
It's up to you.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Very good.
Oh, and now I'm going that direction.
And that's what you're
going
to live.
Yeah. At least 120.
Yeah. Get back to like a teenager, then you'll know everything.
No, but what I'm just, no, that's what I'm saying, but at least I'll have a spirit with me. But what I'm just saying is just that I found that, and it feels so good about it. You know, I'm not being silly about it. I'm being really, really real about it.
I know you are.
I'm going back to finding things that I misplaced in my journey.
There is no limit to your mind, Mario.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to tell you, it's just,
yeah.
I'm in a whole different place.
Good.
That kingdom of heaven is right there.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to tell you. As far as I could see.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yep.
That's why I added that other R to my name.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I have an ocean and a river.
Yep. Harvey O.
Yeah.
Bridget, what's something about your... There was no food in that reference. That's the most amazing thing. What's something about your...
I got Oreo.
Oh! Oreo!
Chicharrones.
Oh, you got a little bit. That's
very good. Remembering. Remember. There's something. Remember spirit.
Yeah.
Spirit.
Yes.
Spirit. Remembering spirit. And it's just this elusive, then it's here. The body. And it's like this. Remembering. Oh, yeah. Spirit. Mm.
You've said a couple of times, no, you're kind of joking, but I think you were serious. You said, you know, I'm kind of hearing a remedial course. I go back and trace over what I have already done, tried to get it right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's one right. One more for time you. With feeling.
Yeah. Do it again, this time with feeling.
Seems connected to what Solis was talking about.
Yeah. Wow, you said that easily. Solis. Wow.
I'm learning.
It helps other people say her name. That would help.
Solis?
Solis, that's it.
Solis.
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 Indeed. Indeed. You are, as the Course also says, in, I think it's lesson 158, in print. It says you're rehearsing this. You're going back over a dream you've already had. We look back at the dream from the point it has ended.
From the point what?
The point that it has ended. We look back on the dream from the point that it has ended. Reliving once again. Interesting wording, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You get there, you meditate on that for a while, and call me if you need to. But this could just, you know, bolt you into an aha moment of what the hell you're actually doing. Because, as it also, I mean, there's other places in the book where it supports that. There's a section called Above the Battleground, and it talks about that you can't understand an insane thought system without stepping out of it for a moment and then seeing its insanity. Above the battleground, you see both sides equally of what was a contest, and you can now understand the contest. To look back on this dream of separation, this is what the author has done. This is the ultimate awakening, is to recognize that this is indeed as a dream. And with a change of use of your mind, a use of your mind, you have a shift in perception, and you can look at the whole of it.
Well, that's the ingredients of turning water into wine.
It will be a change of state.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's just that slowly.
It's the same thing. It's the same presence. The same thing, but it's seen differently. And by your acknowledging that this is a dream that you're looking back on, if you can get there, this is not a requirement. It's just one of the many vectors A Course in Miracles offers you for your spiritual awakening. It's not required that you get this, but it's one of the many jewels in this book. It's the same water that is now known as wine, and because of what you are, it's wine.
I don't get the part about the dream. I get the sense that, you know, through doing the lessons, I mean, I can connect to a feeling of like blissfulness.
Yes,
you know, and it's like letting go, when I can just, like, sometimes only for a moment, you know, I let go of, I can say, okay, I'm just going to let go of everything right now, and then this feeling comes over me. It's not like a dream, it's real. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like,
yes.
it's when it talks about, in the book where it talks about nothing, you know, nothing can hurt you, you know, nothing can hurt
Nothing real can be threatened?
Yeah, nothing. That's what that's unreal the feeling. Exists. It's like you're enveloped by something. It's magical.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And it's and you feel, you definitely feel like you can't be harmed by anything because there's a goodness to it.
Because
it, I mean, yes. It feels right.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And
I
but that's not a dream.
No. It is a that's
when you're awake. That's one, when you're reconnected.
Yeah. That's one of the reconnection moments. That's right. That's yeah. one of the times in your life, if mm-hmm. you've had those, we've all had those, hopefully, a little moment where you like saw through it and like, oh, I'm not going to have anything to worry about. You've had to have that in order to do the courageous things that you've done. It, and you've had to do that, John. I know.
Really?
Do the courageous things that you have done.
I'm not the greatest.
I know. But there's some point where you get this trust comes about that says, I've got more to do than worry. You know, when you reconnect and you say, oh my God, I totally can do this. This is the truth. And you get a sense of ease, of bliss. I call it spiritual air also. You take a breath and it's like so easy and natural and real. It's spiritual air instead of human body air.
Yeah. So the other, you know, way is to be of the ego.
Yes.
And follow this whole insane
uh-huh.
logic,
yes.
thoughts, ideas,
yes.
you know, philosophies,
yes.
you know, your opinions, whatever.
Yes.
And that's an analogy of that would be a dream. Because
yes.
it's all made up. It's a fantasy.
It's all made up.
And so that's a dream.
Yes.
That is a dream, but it's like a dream. It's not really a dream.
Yes.
It's bad habits.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. So let me tell you, say this also. When you have a moment like that you've described,
yeah.
it's kind of blissful, open, you're like, wow, every connection occurs.
Yeah.
If you can have enough wherewithal, and after the moment you certainly can, notice that there's no time.
Yeah.
Time has left you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Space has left you
yeah.
in that moment.
Yeah.
Oh, is this powerful oneness.
Because you forget about the machinations of your mind.
Yes.
You let go of that in the moment.
Yes.
You're not thinking really anymore with the sort of typical
At least
thought.
You have let go of it.
Yeah.
At the very least, you've let go of it, and that's big
and
enough.
And it feels so right and so good that nothing else matters. Who cares?
At the very least, you've let go of it in that moment, and that's good. It's worth a whole lifetime, okay? At the very least, you've let go of it. Or at the most, you see through it.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's still there, but you see through it, or you see beyond it, and you actually don't need to let it go. You see, you're perfectly free with it, lifetime, space, bodies, etc. You see, this is what called Christ's vision in this book occurs. It's part of your spiritual awakening.
Hmm.
And now, I mean, it's like I say, it's good enough to simply let it go. That's a great, great place to be. It's worth lifetimes of spiritual work to stop worrying.
Yeah. You know, this is basically, you know what, from the breathing part, this is our CPR.
Yes.
To this awakening, because I'm going to tell you, wow, thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, wow. There's no coincidence why I'm here.
No doubt, Mario.
No, it's just that I look at things from a whole different... You know, I mean, it. You know, just seeking it opened this door to like, wait a minute, where am I?
Yep.
And it's just now it's teaching me how to recultivate my thinking and
yes.
And then you know, and I even took a nutrition class to just put in no more lies.
You bet. That's the way you walk.
No, it's just that what we're chasing. You know, would you know? I just that's why you know I'm using that as the mm-hmm. you know I don't know I'd be a baby again.
Yeah. As many times as you like.
Yeah.
There's no limit. New girl.
Brenda.
Oh, Brenda.
I'm not sure about my purpose, but I'm really glad I'm here.
Can I say that just for now, just for tonight, your purpose is gratitude?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Gratitude?
Mundane.
John wants more flavor. gratitude? Gratitude turns out in this book, and part of the wonderful things that Mario's talking about in reconnection moment, when those occur, when you hear a little voice in your ear and says, you know what, gonna not have to worry about anything. I mean, that's the truth of it. That reconnection moment of the holy instant, gratitude instantly overwhelms the mind that has chosen their awakening, that has chosen just to be with full on simplicity. Gratitude instantly flows in. Sometimes it's rather disturbing, right? You're on your cushion, you manage to get everything right. Now you're so grateful you want to tell somebody and you fall out of it. That happens. You get used to it. So it turns out that gratitude is it's an absolute foundation of love. But it's more than a foundation. I'm stumbling for words here, because gratitude contains what this book calls the law of love. You know, law is a pretty big word in the world, but all it just means a law in the mathematical sense, that it always applies. Always applies. In other words, it's true. So what's true about love is this. As you give, you receive. When you give gratitude, it might sound like this. Thank you. Right? When you give that, and if you don't give that, you will not experience this gift, at least in your mind. But when you do, that is an extension of you. You just did it. That extension of you to the group. We all felt it. We celebrated when you said those words. We all celebrated. Oh, she's glad. We're happy you're here too.
Yeah.
We want to give it back. Mm. But it's not that we would say a thing, because the moment you just surrendered and said, I'm grateful to be here. Something about this I like. I think John's cute. Doesn't matter. Just trying to keep
you up there. For
just trying to keep you awake.
That's a good job.
It's also, gratitude is an expression of love, which is one of the things that is one of the key principles of this book.
It turns out. Yeah. I call it the poor man's I love you. Huh? It's thank you. But it's got the essence. It really has the very essence of love. So, thank you.
That's absolutely true, because when you said it, my heart just opened. I felt like...
Luann, what's something about your purpose?
Okay. Over 30 years ago, I realized I'd lost any idea of who I was. Mm. So, I started therapy to find out who I was. Mm-hmm. And that's been my purpose ever since. Led me on many different paths over the last 30 years, but it's been my purpose ever since. And when I went inside, the first words were, to know who I am. And it's interesting, because last week in one of the lessons, I had this moment when I said, I'm just going to let go of all thought. And when I did, so deep inside that it was like forever, mm-hmm. I felt love.
Ah! Ah!
I woke up and said, I've had a moment of knowing the Lamb.
Ah! Yes. Congratulations. What's lesson 97? Why would you know that? I don't know the page number, so we're all guilty. It's a good one to memorize. Go look at 97, Luann.
Yes, sir.
And it's on page 200, is around there.
172.
172.
Thank you.
What the heck is the book trying to tell us 800 pages in? You know, there's a very important metaphysical teaching in the Course in Miracles that at first blush is fighting words.
Yeah.
For a book that ostensibly is about love and everything and all, you know, you're asking who you are. That may one day fall away, as it has me before you. The whole problem is you think you are a who. That you've got an image and you've got a personality. There's this wonderful awakening that occurs with feeling that love by actually dropping the images, even seeking for the image.
I know, as soon as I identified it as love, that was the end of my instant.
Yes, yeah. It lasts forever. It lasts forever. You've stepped on it, and you never need to go back there.
Well, the interesting thing that came after that was just so my role then.
Yes.
And that means what I'm doing.
Yes.
Is I'm peeling away all the thoughts I have that I don't want anymore.
That's a great practice. Like putting down the alcohol, put down the different types of alcohol. Yes, beer is the alcohol. What?
Sugar.
Oh, yeah. Sugar. Yeah. Look for the added sugar.
Even worse than sugar is my addiction to judging.
I was going to ask you if the reason you stopped feeling that love was because your brain started going, I'm spirit. I don't know. That's a little egotistical.
No, I didn't say, I never... I'm just now learning that love is spirit. Mm. I have never identified love and spirit as one thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So, no, I didn't.
Yes, it's part of your awakening. It's a huge part of your awakening. And you've come a long way. But earlier in your world of love, seeking love, you felt that you needed to be loved. And that you would give love, and you would be recognized for the love you gave, and then get love back.
That's a two-way street, no?
That's earlier. This was your only understanding of love, that you had to earn it.
Could be, yeah. I wanted to know, I wanted to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
But you're probably right. Be loved would have been the way I was going to know I was.
Would you know you were loved, exactly. And then you felt kind of unfairly treated because you felt that you intended to love and it was not coming back. This was the old way, but you've like, something's wrong with that. So you've been working on it, and so this is huge that you've had that moment. That's an awakening. But I must say to you, it's a wonderful awakening. Perhaps not what you were even looking for in the beginning. This is an awakening of the understanding of spirit.
But every time you said we've had a holy instant,
yes,
I have a sense
mm-hmm.
that that's what it was.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
The moments when I just was love.
Yes. Without even having to put words around it and details, or it's a reconnection.
How do you identify it, though, as love and not something more nebulous like eternity?
More nebulous than love?
How do you know...
Yes. Is there something? Wait, is there something more nebulous than love? Yeah, eternity, huh? Less nebulous is eternity. Okay.
It's apples and oranges to me.
Yeah.
I don't. Honestly, there's not an answer to that question because it's what you described as a feeling.
You don't
need words. Words are
right. It's a journey beyond words.
As soon as I put a word on what I felt, I got out of that whole answer.
Thank you. Yeah. Another short phrase.
That's what love feels like, and I was gone.
I see.
Short phrase, journey without distance is one of them, and journey beyond words is the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's a journey, all right. Beyond words. You know why? There's a whole lesson on it. What?
Words are flawed.
Yes. Words are limits.
Yeah.
So I guess the way I would answer your question, Mark, is the word love and the word eternity are like saying, what is God?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we could go around and around and around. But the feeling, the freedom, we all got. You said it, and it washed through the room.
You know, it's our compass.
Mimi, you did it. We know. I know. I know now that you know.
And now, so in the process of coming to know who I am,
yes,
I know who I am back.
Yes.
And I know the way that I, and the book is telling me the way to get there all the time.
Yes, all the time.
Yeah.
High five, fist bump.
Yeah, I'm identifying it with a compass.
Emoji.
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 Okay.
Because, you know, it has that direction of, you follow them.
I didn't think you'd make it.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. It's the feeling Mark's talking about.
Yeah.
It becomes a compass.
Yeah.
It becomes a light on the horizon.
Yeah.
It becomes something to which you can go once you've had that feeling. Then you know you're rehearsing something that's already for you. It's a compass. It's a guide. Oh my God, it's so wonderful to have one of these spiritual awakenings.
Yeah.
In your life, somewhere along the way, you don't ever need to go back there. That would be going backwards. Mm. I've seen this with the Adya Shanti group. You know, so many people want to go back. They say, oh, yeah. Adya, I got it, and then I lost it. I mean, it's innocent enough, okay? They had some years ago, it's usually years ago, when something just all lined up and they felt so, but they've lost it ever since. Oh my God, right? So you need not go back there.
I know, I'm just looking forward to having that sense again.
And
what?
Let it be real. Just let it be.
Well, if I have a sense, it is real.
That's enough. It's done. See? You've stood on that stair. It's time to step on the next stair, not the same stair. If you want the same stair, trust me, the ego will meet you there. And around you will go. Yes?
You said something last week that I'm feeling, hearing a lot in this. I just want to restate it because you said it last week, and I'm feeling that it applies to this conversation that as we have an idea of something like love, And as we move closer to that thing, that the meaning expands beyond what we could have ever imagined. So concept of love just shifted for me when I heard your story. Your concept of love, all these limits that it had just dropped away, right? And I just thought when you articulated that last week, Andrew, it's so beautiful, because really and that's also why we don't have to I also appreciate that you're saying you don't have to go back there, because that's striving, right?
Yes.
You can't wait for it to happen again. It's striving.
Yes.
You just are that, and it's so beautiful. And let that meaning continue to expand beyond even that experience.
Yes. Thank you, Julie.
Until you, you can't wait for it to happen again, right? Mm-hmm. Like what you said, until you get to the point where you can reliably count on yourself to be connected to that source.
Yes.
You have to have a practice.
You have to have a practice. And the practice is mostly not doing something, but not doing what keeps it from you.
Yeah.
Course in Miracles' job is to remove the blocks to the awareness of love's presence one by one.
Yeah.
Once you let go and feel love, or you feel that spacious moment you described, or that moment that you experienced, something shifted here. And as Julie beautifully said and reminded us of, once you stand there in that free air and breathe one of those breaths, all other breaths, the air is thicker. That's what happened to me. Sitting in my tree, doing my Course in Miracles lesson. And I got this simple sense of awareness and love and peace. And I've never been able to fully go back to a world of blindness and where the air is just thicker. So I revisit. Yes?
That's what Adi Ashanti described in his... He had that interview with Oprah.
Oh.
She said, do you remember when you... were awakened, and he described a moment really similar to what you're talking about.
Interesting. Cool.
Yeah.
Once you get there, then, because you've stood on that higher step, you've all done this. Everybody's hiked right up a trail, like up a hill, and you're so busy watching your steps, you got to be careful. Don't trip on the root. Right? Look out for the poison up. But eventually, you stop, and you turn around and look at the view for the first time. Everybody done that? You know what I'm talking about?
Don't you think every lesson is that? Is turning around and looking at the view again in another different way?
It sure is.
And I have to tell you, after last week, I'm beginning to sound like Mile. after my experience last week, the lessons were easier. I could turn around and look easier. I felt lighter. I have felt lighter all week long since then. I haven't had that same experience, but I have felt like
you've moved, and that's the beauty of what enlightenment. I love that word because it so perfectly describes the experience.
Yeah.
It's lighter. The air is easier to breathe.
I think it's also lighter because it feels closer to the truth.
Indeed.
Like I'm closer to whatever the truth is.
You are. You have taken a step. Problem.
You want to hear something really interesting?
Yeah. Well, that's not interesting enough.
In my personal life, my neighbor has disappeared. My neighbor has disappeared. I put the shades up, and that was the last I ever saw of him. Months ago. Wait a minute. I told that to one of my clients today, and she said, "Do you think the universe provided that?" I said, "Yeah, I think it did."
John, tell me something about your purpose.
I can't, because I don't even know what it is. I'm just trying to give more and more my ideas to the Holy Spirit for direction.
Yeah.
And it's like, so I'm slowly realizing that any kind of, description I might provide of my own experiences and part of my progression in life is going to be simply ego-based and worthless, therefore.
You said it, man.
And so I'm just giving it to the Holy Spirit more and more. I get peace that way. I give any particular issue up to the Holy Spirit, and a few minutes I feel just like relaxed, as if it were some sort of spiritual drug that I have to be able to partake.
Yep.
So anyway, as an aside though, I wanted to mention, you're talking about how it's just a wonderful enlightening thought to say that I don't know. Yep. The one thing I do know is that the ego is always wrong and the Holy Spirit is always right. However, saying that, having said that, I don't really know that yet.
Okay.
I know it intellectually, but I don't know if it didn't come down to the heart yet.
Okay.
And and eventually it'll get there.
Yeah.
But so if I can say that the ego is always wrong and the Holy Spirit is always right, I get it intellectually.
Yes.
But I still don't know.
Well, let's try this.
I don't really know.
Just an idea.
Which gives validity to that statement, I don't know.
Amen.
Anyway.
Amen.
I wanted to make that point.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother John.
The difficulty with what you're grappling with is that you use the word always.
I'm not grappling with it, dude.
Okay.
He's beautifully celebrating the truth of it. I don't see grappling either.
I'm just explaining. It's all good.
I like to say this,
too. If I give the Holy Spirit, that's cool.
I like to say this.
If I have that recourse, I'm down.
It's too hard to know that the Holy Spirit is always right. That's too hard. That is a high bar.
To know it.
Because then you'd have to be testing, right, to know whether it was right or wrong.
Know it in your heart.
You have to be able to compare it to something.
I can understand it intellectually.
Intellectually, you can say it should be right.
Like a theory in mathematics, I can get it intellectually.
Watch out for the spiritual ego. Trying to prove that the Holy Spirit is right all the time. This is the world. This is the ego is going to get you. Right. The spiritual ego will get you. And there's books written about that, by the way.
The ego will use it for its own purpose.
It will. trying to witness the Holy Spirit manifest, I mean, the whole secret story and everything. Oh my God, the spiritual ego will wrap you up, and down you will fall. However, like what you said, you can, and very easily, prove that the ego is always wrong. That works out in your favor.
How can you prove it?
How's it working for you?
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's...
Are you sure it will work again? If you did think that your ego was clever enough to say the right thing at the right time, good job. John!
There are people who
think that. What good is that? Is it going to work on Julie when you need to borrow her car? I got to come up with something all new. Because I can't say to Julie what worked with your landlord about cleaning the cobwebs. That was a great day. But Julie doesn't have cobwebs in her car. Shucks. So don't worry. This is a great way to move along in your spiritual awakening, is I do not know. And keep seeing that the ego is always wrong. This is very much part of your spiritual awakening and crossing the bridge we talked about so many times. When you do find the bridge, I call this a bridge. It's got a beginning, you get on it, and you walk through it page by page, taking steps through the middle, keep going, and you work on it. Eventually you get through something, an awakening, and you make a passage in your mind from purely material addiction to a spiritual being. Awakening. This is a bridge. You must let go of the side that you embarked on, that's your body, time, and space. You have to let that go. You have to say the ego is always wrong. Not most of the time. Not the ego can be really beautiful. When it gets around puppies and chocolate and stuff like that, it's really wonderful. And the sunsets are so wonderful.
Rainbows
Watch
and unicorns.
It. What?
Rainbows and unicorns.
Rainbows and unicorns are designed to fantasize about keeping you in the dream.
You have to have faith.
You are going to have faith that this bridge actually goes what the title says, you know, freedom, love, joy, wherever you think this is going, which is why knowing your purpose is so important. It's yours. It's not anybody else's. If you don't have a sense for you yourself, your Holy Spirit is in fact pulling on you all the time for your purpose. It's going on all the time. If you have never read the sign, if you have never felt that it is via healing, it is via rebirth, it is via a sense of peace that goes without understanding. If you have not touched this, then you do not know how to follow the clues to your reconnection. Okay? So John has very firmly stood on, you know, I think the ego is always wrong.
I don't think, I know it.
I know the ego is always, that is...
Intellectually, I know.
Well, that's fine, buddy, because that's easy to prove. Proving the Holy Spirit's always right, watch out for the ego, don't worry about it. The truth does not need proof, it is its own proof. It is its own proof, so you're well on your way.
I think that's an irrelevant question in a way as to whether it's always right or not.
Good.
For me, it's whether it's right or not, I have to rely on it. It's the only thing I've really got that leads me in a direction I want to go.
Yeah. Try it, you might like it. And if it treats you wrong, your misery is refunded instantly.
No, it's like...
It'd be relevant to you, but not to me.
All right, come on, we're running out of time. Dylan. What's something
you're talking about? I'm just talking about you.
Okay, John, hold on. We gotta talk to Dylan.
No, the first thing I heard was just be. Like, that's the first thing that came through to me.
Yes.
Julia, hurry up. It's just a mind meld.
But, you know, it's, and then, you know, I've been trying for many years, you know, when I was traveling after I had my awakening, I didn't know who I was, and I just went insane, and I ran away from New Jersey. You guys know my story. But I had, like, faith that everything was going to be okay. And I left my comfort zone, and everything turned out, like, I wanted to be killed on my journey. That was my goal. But I had found people everywhere that I went, so I wanted to. I'm like, if I'm still alive, I have some kind of freaking purpose here.
Yeah,
you have a purpose, Dawn. You have a purpose. What is this purpose? And I like see myself as like this girl that's like, you know, a tarot reader, like dreadlocks and skinty and pretty, and like these are all these things I wanted to achieve first before I, and now I'm realizing that none of that matters anymore. It's just me. Nice. All I have to do is be.
Being.
And, you know, and then just that is being a healer, just around, it's just healing, not just, you know, and the ego says that, but if there's someone in your family, you know, I'm the first person in my family, which I believe is, like, here to, like, break the generational curse.
Uh-huh.
That's a huge, like, it's a burden, if you think about it. But mm-hmm. that's the only thing I'm doing now is I'm you know,
beautiful.
Sober, and uh-huh. you know, I've changed, you know, that dynamic in my family. One of us yeah. is the first one.
Somebody's asked to be the first yeah. one.
And the black
looks
sheep
like
family.
It's you.
So that awakening rattled my cage, and I mean, yeah. I had the white light. In 2011, I woke up in the morning. I was a different person the next day, and I changed all my. Changed my thoughts. There we go. I changed.
That's a miracle.
Negative to positive.
Shift in perception
like,
occurred.
With me? Yeah.
Yeah.
33 years of my life, I was the most negative, like, judgmental person.
So
and
now
that
you're
judgmental
gonna be.
Thing, I'm trying, you know, that's the ego always coming yeah. in. I'm like, come on, ego, shush. I'm always yelling. I'm always so like, shh.
Now the challenge is
what?
To be that.
Just be.
To not practice any of the old ways that were useless now. Good. Good. All right, everybody. Turn to. Page. Well, you know what? We're gonna be on 443 in a number of weeks, and so we don't have to read it tonight. But we are gonna have to read tonight's paragraph, page 439, paragraph 2. And Robert, it is chapter 20, section 7, the consistency of means and end. You can search for a period of discomfort. We're all living in the past, he's living in the future on a digital
yeah.
Course in Miracles. You ready? The period of discomfort, please. Yeah, would you read for us paragraph 2?
Sure. The period of discomfort that follows the sudden change in a relationship from sin to holiness may now be almost over. To the extent you still experience it, you're refusing to leave the means to Him who changed the purpose. You recognize you want the goal, and are you not also willing to accept the means? If you are not, let us admit that you are inconsistent. Purpose is attained by means. If you want a purpose, you must be willing to want the means as well. How can one be sincere and say, I want this above all else, and yet I do not want to learn the means to get it?
I want to go up the stairs, but I don't want to actually walk on the stairs. They're too sharp on the edges.
Is that kind of like an advertisement for the lessons?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
It really describes, like, why should you do the lessons?
Wouldn't it be nice if there were lessons? Remember, when she did this, there were no lessons.
Oh, that's true.
She didn't know when it was. She said, Nick, this could have been the last page.
Wow.
She didn't know. Every day,
yeah.
The voice just came back. And it kept promising all this big stuff. We know there's a workbook.
When did she receive the lesson?
A few weeks after the course said the okay. text said amen. She said, well, thank God that's it. And then Helen, hello.
One more thing.
It all of a sudden it became, you know, workbook for students. Please take notes again. Like, oh, let's have a circle. She did have, I think it was like 3 weeks, and then she started feeling an inkling that something else was coming. She didn't know what it was.
Wow.
And it was just like, you know.
She felt the rumbling.
She felt the rumbling, like the wind.
How do you do?
Take a deep breath. Purpose-filled, right? A breath? It has a purpose. It you start it. And it has something that it gives you. And you gave it. the means. You lifted your chest and you open and you and then in comes the breath, and then it delivered. The breath has occurred. You had a means of breathing and you did it. For having chosen, key word now in A Course in Miracles, for having exercised the one power that remains as you dream of being stuck in a body, one power that remains that you used is choice. Having chosen a breath, you got one. Easy math. Easy math. It's a metaphysical truth. Just like when a new girl came in here and she decided to share her gratitude. Do you know that she did that? She actually sat up, opened her eyes, and she said, "You know what? I'm just grateful to be here." This is a gift that she gave. She did it. Just like that breath. There are means and there's an end, but they're always consistent. The breath was purposeful. So is your life and your being. And if all new girl does is say, I liked the gratitude, what can I say? So I said it. But that's all she does the rest of her life. What kind of life is she gonna have? Oh, it's beautiful. Thank you everybody for sharing, for teaching. Amen.